Terry?
Terry, what'd you do?
We're ready.
Okay. Okay. Call of order, pledge allegiance, can we stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weagle.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes. I believe there was more than one set. So again, any changes or corrections to the minutes that's presented? I don't hear anything. All in favor to accept the minutes as presented, raise your right hand. We probably should do that. Okay, I'll take a motion, Dan.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
I have a first by Dan, second by Ted. Okay, don't hear any objections. So I'll call for the vote. All in favor, raise your right hand. Motion carried. We have one abstain. Okay, our guest tonight is John Goltz. He's going to update us on the MS-4 for 2022.
Yes.
Okay. And John, if you just give a little brief synopsis of your job description and how we partner with you guys in the city, and that'd be great.
Okay. My name's John Goetz. I work for the Whitley County Soil and Water Conservation District. I'm their contracted employee and have a technical background in civil engineering with a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from Purdue. And the Soil and Water Conservation District has a contract with Columbia City to help with the municipal separate storm sewer program. And MS-4 is a program that IDEM requires the city to participate in. And so the idea is to prevent and reduce stormwater pollution. And so you should have received the annual report for 2022. And I'm just going to highlight a few of the regulatory things. So IDEM, after a long time, issued finally a new general MS-4 permit, and that took effect in December of 2021. And the city submitted a notice of intent to obtain coverage by the new permit on May 25th of 2022. And so we're officially under the new permit. This report is following the old format, and IDEM said to go ahead and do that. They haven't caught up with all their new forms yet. So next year's report would follow a slightly different format. Most of the things that are in here are going to carry forward to the new permit, but they've kind of changed the order of some things and did some stuff. One of the things that we have to do is a water quality characterization report. The original water quality characterization report was submitted in 2004, and it's never been updated. And so IDEM wants the city to update, at least review it, but update it potentially every year going forward. And so we're supposed to submit that at the same time as we submit an annual report to IDEM. On the old permit, they did annual reporting every 2 years. I'm not quite sure how that worked, but they required us to submit a report to IDEM every 2 years. Now with the new permit, we're going to have to submit a report to them every year. And so, again, they haven't got the form for the new permit yet, so this year's annual report we'll submit on the old form. And so we're going to have to submit the annual report and the water quality characterization report April 1st of 2023. The city also has a stormwater quality management plan, and we had to update that. The original due date was January 23rd of 2023. We asked for an extension, and they granted that. I was at a regional meeting today, and some of the other MS4s, Elkhart, asked for an extension. So I think a number of other communities asked for an extension on that. So February 20, 2023 is supposed to be our new due date. I submitted the updated stormwater quality management report to Mike Choda. He's the MS4 coordinator. And I believe the mayor and the Board of Works are going to review that. I wanted them to all be on board with what we're showing in the stormwater quality management plan. Now, one of the requirements in of the new general permit is for the city to review and update their stormwater ordinances. And that's supposed to be done by July 1st of 2024. Now, IDEM's indicated they'll be flexible on getting that done as long as there's some documentation quarterly that progress is being made. So one of the things the city council is going to have to consider is how extensively to update the ordinances. There's the illicit discharge ordinance. I don't believe that would require too many changes. And then there's the construction and post-construction stormwater ordinances, and those might require some more changes to conform to the new general permit. And as I've worked with the old ordinances the past few years, there's a number of things that I found confusing that could use some clarification. So that's something, I guess, that we should start that process of getting the ordinances reviewed and updated. So the water quality monitoring, that's going to be part of the water quality characterization report. We'll kind of review what we found. We've been sampling since 2007, and we'll kind of review that. E. coli and total suspended solids are the two biggest water quality issues that we encounter. The completed Combined Sewer Overflow Mitigation Project has made a big difference in the amount of overflows going to the Blue River. I looked up, Mike Cook does an annual report. So in 2020, which would have been before the project, it had just about 30 inches of rain, and there were 7 million gallons of combined sewer overflows in 2020. In 2022, after completion of the project, we had about 30 inches of rain, and there were 318,000 gallons of overflow. So there was a substantial improvement. And so we haven't seen a decline in the E. coli yet, but I'm anticipating that as the E. coli that's kind of built up in the stream bed gets washed out, that our E. coli results are going to be better. The minimum control measures that we follow, public education and outreach and public participation and involvement, right now those are two separate minimum control measures. In the new general permit, those are going to be combined into one minimum control measure. And one of the things they want us to do is target three water quality issues to three constituent groups. So for residents, the residential constituent group, I'm proposing to focus on pet waste, which relates to the E. coli problem. Commercial and industrial, I'm suggesting focusing on trash and litter. And again, there could be some E. coli benefits from that, but there is quite a bit of trash and litter around town, and commercial and industrial sites are a source for that. And then on construction and development, our focus would be on erosion and sediment control. The illicit discharge detection and elimination minimum control measure, we're supposed to have an updated IDDE plan submitted by July 1st of 2023. We've got a draft plan that was written in 2012, and we just need to kind of touch that up. So I don't think that'll be take too much to get that in place. And then on construction and post-construction, the Stormwater Development Manual has all the city's technical standards for stormwater management. And some of that relates to what's in the ordinances, so depending on the direction the city council wants to take with updating the construction and post-construction ordinances, we may need to make some changes in the Stormwater Development Manual. There are some technical standards in there that I feel are insufficient, and so I'm going to propose some changes on those. And then some of the language in the manual is not very clear, so there's some clarification that needs to be done with that. And then municipal operations, I think we're in pretty good shape. There's not much new that's going to be required. One thing that the new permit requires is better documentation. So the departments are doing a good job with the things that they're doing with their operations, but we just need to make sure we've got that documented so that we can show the documentation to IDEM. And then they want us to document the fact that we're inspecting municipal facilities. So we just need to do a little better job with documenting that. So that's pretty much all I wanted to cover. If you have any questions about stormwater management, about the MS4 program.
So you had mentioned that some of our ordinances need to be updated.
Yes.
Who do you communicate that with? Is that something that goes through you, Rosie, or the mayor, or Marcia, or to us? Or
probably Mike and
Boy. And then you guys bring it to us?
Yeah, Mike's the MS4 coordinator, so I guess I would work with him. Okay. I did mention it in last year's annual report, too, that the ordinances would need to be updated. And I guess you're going to have to take a look at it. Maybe I can put some information out through Mike to you, things to consider before you start that process, whether you want to keep as much of the existing ordinances as possible or whether you want to maybe consider a more substantial revision. But
are these changes probably changes that other communities are making in their ordinances as well?
I'm not sure how extensively other communities are going to make changes, but I think some of them are going to make more extensive changes. The Purdue University has a local technical assistance program, and they've been working with a state MS4 partnership, and so they've developed a model ordinance and model technical standards. And they put those out for communities to look at and see whether they want to adopt those or adopt certain features of those. So those are available as kind of a guide to some of the changes. I believe, yeah.
Oh, I have another question for you.
Sure.
Unrelated to that. So when you were mentioning the pet waste and trash and litter and erosion and sediment control, do you have, do you have a plan for the education that you're going to do for the community, or?
That's something we're going to have to. That's something we're going to have to look at. We do have some educational information about those things that's available, but we probably need to focus and maybe we're supposed to either have public events or public meetings each year to kind of to highlight the things that we want as far as water quality issues. One of the things in the new permit is we're supposed to offer education to contractors about erosion and sediment control. And I would look to partner with maybe some other MS4 communities to offer that education. We'll have to have a plan to kind of do that. Again, we've got some materials available already, but we probably need to touch those up and maybe schedule some meetings or events.
I'll contact you after the meeting, but I have a good resource for educational materials on that.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions, John? John, how many years you been doing this?
I'm going on my 10th year.
And is that with the city or your overall?
Overall, but I mean, when I started with the Salt Water Conservation District, they had the contract, so I started them both at the same time. So,
right. So history-wise, it used to be city had theirs and the county had theirs.
Yeah, the county manages their stormwater separately, but as far as county projects, IDEM, when they looked at the job they were taking on as far as erosion and sediment control, plan review, and site inspection, they realized they didn't have the personnel, so they kind of deputized the Soil and Water Conservation Districts to do that on their behalf. And we get a little bit of money from them for doing that, but not very much. And so I review the county projects on behalf of IDEM. And then the city projects, because the city's an MS4, they do their own review of projects. Now, technically, I'm supposed to review any kind of municipal project. I'm supposed to put the other hat on and review that on behalf of IDEM. So.
Well, I know that you have helped and assist in many different ways, from the Planning Commission to engineers, you know, for the county inspections and evaluations. And so, I mean, when they say John Goetz, they all know it's quality and it's going to be done right. So I just wanted to pass that on to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes,
ma'am.
I just had a question about the recent issues with the Ohio River. How big of an impact will that have here with the Blue River?
Yeah, there really wouldn't be any connections. So.
Okay. Can you hang up? All right. Again, thank you.
Yes.
The next item on the agenda is from Baker Tilly. And presentation on the utility rates. This is a topic that I think we talked about last year at our retreat, and probably multiple retreats, of how we continue to support the utility rates here at Columbia City. And if you look at the chart, I believe we're right dead center in the surrounding counties where we're at in the cost of utilities. We're right in the middle. So. Please identify yourself, and be glad to observe your presentation on the show.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeff Rao, partner with Baker Tilly. And I also have with me Ian Stahl, who also helped put the rate study together. And again, appreciate all the help from the department heads as well. If you recall, you know, sort of in past history, the approach to looking at rates or rate studies, we kind of did piecemeal. So you kind of look at, you know, the water utility individually, and then we look at sewage, and then maybe electric and stormwater, kind of look at all those individually. And so we'd have sort of, you know, sort of sporadic increases from one time to the next. So in talking with the mayor and Rosie, kind of the approach we thought of this time was, instead of kind of looking at it piecemeal, to really look at it holistically as one sort of overall comprehensive rate study. At the end of the day, the customers, ratepayers, you know, what they see is what's on the total bill, right, in terms of how they're impacted financially. And so that's kind of where the focus is. So that's kind of what we wanted to do with this study, this go-around, is look at, we are looking at the utilities individually in terms of, you know, whether those rates are adequate. But in addition to that, what we attempted to do is here to sort of put together a strategy, a comprehensive rate plan that took into account the various adjustments from the individual utilities, but also keeping in mind what the end impact is to the user, and try to. Sort of massage those increases in a way that you know, we'd be avoiding any large increases, and also trying to spread those increases over time. So that was kind of the overall goal of an approach to this study here.
Jeff, can I interrupt you?
Yes, absolutely.
Rosie, would you mind just taking a few minutes to talk about the committee, about the utility?
Yeah, the utility advisory board, which we have Karen Rust and I think he's back there, two dots. Yeah, here, that represent the utility board. And the other members were here, and they just, the mayor kind of went through the proposed rate increase, which they wanted to go back and kind of comprehend everything, because it was a lot for them to review in one night. And then the mayor asked if we could have Jeff come and present it to the council, and if the members wanted to be here to kind of listen to, because they have some recommendations on some changes, which I think Jeff changed those things at the request of the mayor.
Yeah, and appreciate that reminder, Rosie. We did, so the report that you have now should be the most recent, because we did prepare a report, and then we went back based on some of the comments back, and we sort of reworked some of those numbers. I think the one that sort of pops in my head was sort of reworking the capital improvement plan. I think it was for the electric, maybe water.
Sewer.
I knew I'd get it right eventually if I kept going. Sewer report. And so we did make those modifications, which actually brings the rate increase down a little bit because we were reducing some of the capital projects. So.
Well, my intent was just to make sure everybody knows that this is an effort by all. You know, it's not a one-person decision. Again, we've got input from the citizens. Obviously, your support is from your side of the house with the utility investigation. And so the council is, you know, all ears as well. So, mm-hmm. Because it does impact the end users.
Yep.
So thank you for allowing me to interrupt you.
No, appreciate those words. So there should be two reports. One is the detailed report, 30 some odd pages, and then this shorter version, which is an executive, kind of our executive summary, and that's what we had planned to kind of go over with you this evening. Again, sort of hit some of the main points to it. Obviously, we can do a deeper dive into the more detailed report if there are more specific questions. So on the executive summary, just starting out from the first page and just kind of go through that. Again, just we've already kind of touched on this. The purpose of the comprehensive study was, you know, to look at all four utilities, water, sewer, wastewater, stormwater, and electric, and then look at or establish a proposed rate plan based on needs for rate adjustments. So just a little bit of history. This is on page 3. In terms of when the rates were last established or last adjusted for the stormwater utility, I believe that was back in 2009. So, you know, we're 12, 13 years removed from the last rate adjustment. Sewage Works, I believe, was 2014. That was probably with the last project, I think, that we did with SRF. And there were some phased increases implemented as part of that, but in terms of when the ordinances were adopted, these are the dates. Water utility, I believe, was 2019, and then I believe there was an adjustment made in 2022 for utility receipts tax. And then for the electric utility, you know, it was 2022, including the wholesale tracker and then also the repeal of the utility receipts tax. So. Water utility, not too far removed from, you know, the last rate adjustment, and obviously electric utility, in terms of keeping up with wholesale power costs, those trackers have been implemented along the way. So stormwater, sewer are some of the, you know, the oldest rates in terms of adoption. So they're obviously... you know, obviously, over time, you know, there are events that sort of eat into the rates or eat into sort of the financial performance of the utilities, mainly inflation, could be other things like projects. But there are some headwinds right now, over the last couple years. Obviously, that one is inflation, with inflation being 6-7%. I know it's come down a little bit here recently, but obviously that's a driver in terms of potential need to adjust rates. Also, increases in labor costs, I know, are another one. Is another one with not just municipalities, but businesses and professional firms and what have you, having to deal with labor force and the competitive nature of the labor force, which is leading to increase in labor and labor-related costs. Obviously, supply chain issues and other things going on that have sort of also contributed to the increase in those costs. And we'll kind of get into the numbers here a little bit more, but what I sort of alluded to this earlier, the proposed rate plan considers a three-phase rate adjustment, which the first phase would go into effect in 2023, the second phase in 2024, and then a third phase in 2025. So again, trying to be aware, have an awareness in terms of what the overall financial impact is to the users, trying to spread that out as far as we can over time, which also allows folks and businesses to be able to budget ahead of time for those rate increases. So in terms of the proposed rates that that are reflected as part of the report and recommendation, those proposed rates would be sufficient to pay for nearly $10 million in capital investment needs for all four utilities combined over the next 5 years. Roughly $5.5 million of that are capital needs within the sewage works, about $1.8 million for the water utility, roughly $500,000 for the stormwater utility, and about $2 million for the electric utility. So there are some capital investment needs there, which have been incorporated into the proposed rate structure. And we've, at this point, have assumed that all of those capital projects are paid for with cash on hand on a pay-as-you-go basis. So we've not assumed any financing or bond issue associated with funding those projects. So on average, in terms of percentage, total utility bill, the proposed rate plan is less than 4% in the total utility charges per year. So less than 4% increase per year. So kind of diving into the individual utilities, page 7, we start with the sewage works rate adjustment. And I wish I probably should have brought the presentation to show up there so everybody could see it. I apologize. But the page 7, if you have the report in front of you, kind of shows a graph. It shows what the estimated, what we call revenue requirements are. That's just essentially the total estimated annual cost, which is up around $6.5 million, and we compare that to the current revenue stream generated from the current sewage works rates, which is just over $5 million. So that difference there, it represents a shortfall of about 17% existing revenues compared to the revenues that are needed to kind of cover all the costs, which would be the operation and maintenance costs. We've built in some inflationary adjustments, debt service, obviously, and also the capital improvements, $5.5 million of capital improvements that I mentioned earlier. Page 8 is a summary of the water utility. Again, for this one, this was a much smaller rate adjustment, I presume, because the last rate adjustment was done in 2019. But this rate adjustment includes roughly the $2 million of capital needs and about a 5% overall adjustment needed to the overall rates for the water utility. Then on the stormwater, again, similar to sewer, for stormwater, we're proposing an overall rate increase of 17%, again, to cover operating costs, capital project needs, and also to continue to support the payment of the debt service on the sewage works side. So back when the sewage works issued debt through the SRF, the city pledged a portion of the stormwater revenues to help pay for the sewage debt at that time in order to help sort of ease or minimize the overall rate impact on the sewer side. So that would continue for as long as the bonds are outstanding. So that is, we've assumed that will continue within the stormwater rate structure. Then on the page 10, electric utility, we're anticipating an increase of approximately overall 12% increase, and that includes sort of rolling, in terms of the proposed rate, we would recommend that we roll any existing tracker that's in place into the base rates going forward. But that 12% also includes a 9% increase in purchase power costs that's expected to go into effect in 2023. The 12% increase also covers the roughly $1.5 million in capital improvements. I'm sorry, the $2 million in capital improvements, but also assumes that we're building in some additional funds to replenish electric utility cash reserves. So over time, the utility has sort of eaten into its cash reserves and to the tune of about $1.5 million. So as part of this rate adjustment, we've added in some working capital with the intention that as the utility collects revenue, some of that would go back into the reserves to stay in order to keep adequate reserves on hand. So that was also built into the recommended rate. Any questions so far? Okay. So just continuing on then to sort of wrap up the executive summary on page 11, that reflects the proposed rates for all four utilities and then reflects what the estimated total utility bill would be. So current total bill, stormwater, water, sewer, electric, and this assuming a user of 4,000 gallons, total bill is about $239 per month. If the city were to move forward with this three-phase rate plan, that total bill in 2023 would go up to about $245. In 2024, that would be increased again up to $257. And then finally, in 2025, the total bill would go up to about $269. So again, on average, a little bit less than 4% per year and a little bit under $10 impact to the average residential customer. So it was mentioned at the beginning of the presentation about kind of where the city currently stands compared to other communities of similar size and also communities around the state based on population. And page 12 reflects that data, and it looks at water, sewer, stormwater. We didn't show electric in this, include electric in this graph here, kind of your standard water, sewer, stormwater rates. You can see that, you know, the city currently is at about $110. You know, the low, which is the city of Angola, is down around 75. The high, Churubusco, is around 154. So kind of right in that middle ground for water, sewer, stormwater rates. you know, obviously with this, if the city decides to move forward with this rate plan, you know, that would move us along that continuum up towards the sort of the higher rate levels. You know, that said, this is always a moving target, and so just kind of eyeballing these communities, I know that some of these communities are in the process of adjusting rates, so everyone's probably going to move up along with the city. Question will be kind of where, you know, where does everybody stack up at the end of the day? But so yeah, right now, you know, rates are about in that middle ground compared to other communities of similar size. In terms of electric bill comparison, page 13 reflects that comparison. So statewide average, around $128. Current electric rates, this is assuming 1,000 kilowatt hours of usage, residential bill. Current rates about just under $129. And again, based on those that we sort of selected here, those rates range anywhere between, you know, down at $96 roughly per month, which is the town of Avila, and then about $161 per month, which is Duke Energy. So again, kind of right in that sort of in that middle ground area. All right, so that concludes the summary. I know I don't believe we're looking for any action tonight. This is kind of an opportunity to present this to the group and to the public. But be happy to answer any questions you have or take any comments on the results.
Just a comment. I'm just thinking it's better than I thought it was going to be. I was expecting something maybe a little worse with the cost of everything going up for us to keep buying materials and keep going out of sight, you know, for our people that keep our city functioning. It's better than I thought. It's never good, but it's still better. It's better than I thought it was going to be when we first started looking at things. So, rate increases are never good, but at the same time, we got to maintain the service for our people. And I think we've got some great people looking things over for us, and really appreciate all the work you did and put into this. And then, you know, it also goes into what our superintendents, how they function as well. So, so I really appreciate, you know, this ability, and the people that are looking over are keeping us straight too. So I really appreciate everybody that's working hard on this. So it's just, like I say, it's better than I thought, but so thank you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Any other questions for Jeff?
We are going to be meeting again with the Utility Advisory Board, and now that we've got some different figures here and there, what they usually do will kind of give a recommendation to the council how they feel about it, and then we will proceed from there.
Right. You said a lot of numbers, but sorry, I just want to make sure I had it right. You need 17% increase for 20 to cover the 17% that you're low. But then you also said 12%.
Yep. So yes. Yeah, so to clarify, so for the sewage works, we're proposing a overall 17% increase in the rates. For the water utility, an overall increase of 5%. For stormwater, 17%, and for electric, 12%. And if you kind of add all those up together as a sort of an overall comprehensive bill, that would come out to, again, less than 4% of the total bill, so less than 4% increase per year, and less than just under $10 per year increase.
Okay. Any other questions for Jeff? Again, Jeff, thank you for your time and study detail. Obviously, it's based upon facts and collected data, and so that helps make some good decisions. Not the decisions sometimes we want to make,
but we know that we've got to look for the future and make sure to keep things going as Dan explained. So, anything, Rosie?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. And I would just add, you know, as the rate committee meets again, you know, if questions come up or, you know, any other changes you want to see us run, just let us know. I'd be happy to do that. So.
Okay. Just a quick question for you. So you reviewed a three-step approach. Is there any merit to a two-step approach? Or?
Yeah, you know, it's really just a, I mean, it really comes down to a policy decision on, you know, how quickly or how long do you want to take to sort of roll the increases out. Certainly you could accelerate it and consider 2 years. That would obviously result in, you know, slightly higher rate impact per phase in order to get to where we need to get to. But certainly you could consider anywhere between 1 and 3 years. You know, I'd hesitate going beyond 3 years because then a lot of the information gets stale and things happen. And I think anywhere between a 1 and 3 year period is kind of a good rule of thumb.
And plus that gives people, like you said, time to prepare their budget for the next 3 years to support that.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, department reports. Chip.
Yes, 1 second.
I have nothing.
No, I do. So just for an update, we did, in January, interviews, brought in several firms and interviewed for a downtown revitalization plan. We awarded the contract, which we haven't got. We awarded to move forward with the contract to HWC engineering firm. And we're waiting a contract for that. So we're hoping come April, May, we'll start the plan for revitalizing downtown. Other than that, I have nothing else.
Okay. Any questions for Chip? Garrett?
SOS finished installation of the free public Wi-Fi at the MSF, and that's working well. They're now in the process of ordering equipment to move to the water department and install it there. That's all I have.
Okay. Questions for Tara? Sean?
Yeah, so we were able to hook permanent power up to the Community Foundation building. A lot of you probably have seen that building going up. Power has been installed, so they should. We're coming right along in that building. It's an enormous building as well, so it's going to be nice. Nice building for them. We also installed banners along 205. I think they look really nice at the program that the mayor started, and I believe Ashley helped as well. But we did get those installed. We are looking at Main Street at the new poles we put on Main Street. They are we are able to hang some banners on those poles as well. So there may be a new banner program coming to the city very soon. We met with Kent Power this week and last week, I guess, both. That North Substation project approved back in 2019 is finally kicking off. We transferred all the load off of our North Substation today and are prepared to de-energize that this week. So we're feeding the entire city off of 2 substations instead of 3 right now, which is an uneasy feeling, but it's made necessary by this construction project. They're going to have the actual line construction done in 2 to 3 weeks. The substation construction is hopefully finished the first week of June. So keep you updated on that project. We did approve a new program and Board of Works today for the GenerLink transfer switch. It's basically a transfer switch that you can install in the meter base. So if we have a power outage that you need to, you know, get your refrigerators and freezers up and going, simple cord plugs into it from your generator. It's a really good program. I'll be unveiling that in the next few weeks on our website. So anyone interested in that can go there for that information here, hopefully by next week. Other than that, just kind of daily tasks and trying to keep up with, you know, we got really good weather in the last couple weeks, but it's made it hard to do any digging. So getting muddy out there, so we're going to keep trying to mud some of these projects in. So.
Okay.
Any questions for Sean? Mike?
We had three leaks that we had to repair yesterday. And, we did a 160-foot culvert on West Business 30. And then we're having a Friday, we're having an insert valve installed on West Ellsworth Street, down there where the new asphalt is, so we can tear it up like normal water departments do. So. But that will keep it so that we can feed the old Miller's Merry Manor two directions if we ever have to shut one side down or not. We can keep them both, you know, keep them in water.
Good. Any questions for Mike? Mike?
Do two reports every year, one to Steel Dynamics for maintenance on their force main, and then do another annual report that goes to the EPA, and that's for the amount of sludge we produce. So the reports are completed and submitted to both entities. We almost completed our 2022 SCADA upgrade on 11 stations, and we had supply chain issues on some of the power supplies, so it took a little bit to get those in, but we've got two of those to go yet. A big thanks to the electric department for rotating antennas. They had to be rotated 90 degrees with the new PLC equipment that was put in. My staff had pulled new, we had ventilation fans in our headworks put in that stopped working, and they found burnt wires when they pulled those through. So they pulled new wires from one building to another and got those back online. And then they tore apart one of our grip separators today, and it's motors in for shaft and heat wave repair.
Day-to-day. Mike, any questions?
Yeah, Mike, because you brought up the SDI, how are they doing with the, they're hitting the targets that they had projected a few years ago for the force main line that we ran out there?
They are running probably between 350,000, 375,000. They have not hit their max.
And because their max was what, was it 500?
Well, 500,000. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we built for is 500,000, and we still have plenty of capacity to go.
Okay. Nothing else? Okay. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, we've had a crew in Columbia Shores area with our sewer televising equipment and our sewer cleaning machine. Our goal is to try to get that whole area televised this year and clean. We had some issues with the jet machine. We had a bearing go out of the front reel, and then we've had some throttle issues that we're going to have to take that truck down to Whitestown and have Dehaney's crew work on that. So hopefully it's not down too long and we can get back to that while we have this nice weather. We'll have to have Mike's truck on standby if we have anything come up. Other than that, just doing routine maintenance, sweeping, pothole patching, things like that. And have the contractor be coming in at the end of this month or next month to do leaf grinding in the back of Morse's Park, get those ground up, and then be available to the public. So,
Kelly, could you just shortly give a brief description of what do you gain by the fiber optic equipment? But we have some guests in here with us tonight, and they hear fiber optic, but maybe they don't know what how positive it is for the street department. So,
fiber optic. Well, we're cleaning. You're talking about the report in Columbia Shores.
Just in general, so they know why we have the machine and what it does for you.
Okay. It's a televising. It goes. It's a crawler that goes inside the sewer lines, and basically you can drive it up through there like with a PlayStation controller, and video the inside of the lines to see if there's roots or debris or pipe broke down or whatever. Also, we can do pipe runs and reports on that. Save the data. It gets put on our server, and then our GIS guy pulls it off the server and puts our maps together, has sewer tap locations on there that end up being helpful for contractors in the future or homeowners that want to know where their service lines connect to the sewer mains. So.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Any questions for Kelly? Gary?
We've been busy the last couple of days doing formal interviews for police candidates. We've interviewed six people in for Officer Kelly's position. Since we've opened the process, we've had Officer Stamper resign and move on to Kay County. Her last day was February 6th, and Officer Stevenson retired, and his last day was February 8th, so still undetermined if we're going to get enough people out of that process to fill those slots or if we have to open up another process, so that's a possibility in the future. Road guys have been stepping up and help fill the shift coverage, so that's been a real big help for that. We got two guys down at the academy that are in their sixth week at the academy, and they are to return mid-April, so looking forward to them getting back and helping. So other than that, for as far as police go, we just day-to-day operations, and things are running smooth in dispatch. So.
Any questions for Garrett? Tom?
As I reported last meeting, the new mechanic found a few things on 101, an oil leak and some coolant leaks. We got the parts in. That's good news with the right supply chain issues that have been known to happen nationwide. So he's going to schedule that sometime the first of next week or the week after. It'll be down for a couple of days while he makes those repairs. We sent our entire full-time crew and two batches down to Indianapolis. There was a company there that did a full fire suppression class for everybody. They volunteered to do that for us. That's what they specialize in, course and fire, and they offered that to us for free, so that was really nice of them. Other than that, things are going well. Training is still a big issue, and in wintertime, while the guys, because when it's cold outside and not a whole lot to do outside, focus attention inside and get things cleaned up and go through everything just to make sure that we do some housekeeping. So it's kind of nice during the wintertime to get things cleaned up inside.
Okay. Questions, Tom? Rosie?
Just to remember the retreat next weekend or next Thursday and Friday.
Okay. Is Marcia still with us?
Yes.
I have nothing.
Okay, Marcia. Dan.
Okay, sir.
Timmy.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
I have a couple of things. First of all, the Arts Commission met last week, and currently we have a couple of logo possibilities posted on our Facebook page, and we're inviting the community to kind of weigh in on that and see if that kind of represents the arts in our community. We are looking currently at grant funding options that are available to offset the cost of things we want to do. And at our next meeting, which is on the first Tuesday in March from 5 to 6 p.m., we will be brainstorming specific arts-oriented projects that we might want to do in the next year and in the next 2 years. This is a public meeting, of course, so people are welcome to attend if they would like to weigh in on that. So.
We've traveled the last couple of days in Indiana, and we've seen evidence of ice sculpting. So is that something that's on your
list? That could be a possibility.
Is it? Okay.
Yep, we're going to hang up things around the room and brainstorm our ideas and then vote to try to narrow it down a little bit so that we have a cohesive direction.
Sure.
We have already quite a few ideas that people want to do. So.
Good. Ted?
We had redevelopment earlier today. The LML site is, all the studies and testing has come back pretty positive, so they're trying to fast track that for approval so we can open that property up for development. And we're still waiting with the property there at Jackson and Line Street is open for proposals right now. And we don't have any right at this point, right, Chip?
Well, none right now.
So those are the two properties we're working on to develop at this moment. So.
What is that zone there, the old element now?
Commercial.
Commercial.
Commercial, okay.
So, we have to wait until we get approval to open it up. But they have one more quarter of testing, but they're going to try and fast track it through so they don't have to wait an extra 6 months to open it up for bidding and
sure.
opportunities. So.
Good. Jenny.
The Solid Waste Board District actually has a director position open right now. We're looking for candidates. For that, if you're interested in applying, you can go to the Whitley County government page or the EDC has that available.
Okay. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Anything from the audience? Yes.
Yep.
Please state your name.
Yep. Melanie Love, 113 East Market Street. It's late and I don't want to keep everybody, but I just want to remind you guys that chickens are important and eggs are still ridiculously expensive. They're expected to get to $10 for a dozen by next August. And if, in case you're wondering, that's pretty much the same price it is to buy a dozen Cadbury eggs, which is ridiculous. Like, those should not be comparable. It's ridiculously overpriced chocolate on Valentine's Day versus a staple food that is used in so many different things. If we had done something about this months or years ago, it wouldn't be such a big issue right now. And I'm just really concerned because it's going to continue to be an issue. And people need the ability to not have to depend on a grocery store just to get eggs. So that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from the audience? Okay. If there's nothing else to come forth for the Common Council, I'll call the meeting adjourned.